We continue from 1 John, and it's a little book, but it's got a lot of big ideas in it. And last week, we talked a little bit mostly from 1 John, about God's love for us. So today, we're going to do another part, and that's about our love for Him, because these are all talked about in 1 John. We do have a responsive reading, and it's on this cream-colored sheet of paper. So shall we stand together in honor of God's Word? I'll read the light print, I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, it is such an honor to be able to come here today and to pay tribute to Your Son, the one that You sent, the one that You ordained, the one that You appointed, the one of whom You said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," the one of whom You said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Lord, today, we just pray that we may grow in our love for You, and as we do, that we may have increased fellowship both with You and with the Son, aided and abetted by Your Holy Spirit, whose job is to reveal You, the Father, and to reveal Your Son, and to lead us back into worship and into obedience. Now, we thank You, Lord, for the work that You have done in our lives, and we pray that it may be very fruitful. And we pray that as we walk with You, that indeed we will not see it as a legalistic thing, that we will keep Your commandments, but that we will keep them not so much from the obligation side of it as from the love side of it, and of the desire, the heartfelt, deep-seated heart's desire to please You and to honor You in everything that we do. But help us, Lord, that we may indeed be walking in love, in Your love, and which is the love You have shown us in the person of Your Son, through the atoning sacrifice. And so, Lord, today, take Your word, use it in our hearts, guide us in Your truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated, and if you are among those who like to follow the notes and all that, by the way, as always, the expanded notes, along with full text of all scriptures, you will find on our webpage, sncc.net. So, John talks about God's love for us and how that was demonstrated and how He loved us before we loved Him and how His love was expressed in sending His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins and so forth. And then he obviously has a lot to say also about our love for God. And so, we're going to start right off. Now, I included these first few points here, almost like a review, because these are points that we should all know, so we're going to go through them, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. Our love for God. First point is, it starts with the new birth. It starts with the new birth. Nicodemus, one of the most accomplished religious men in all of Israel, one of the most knowledgeable men in the Scriptures, one of the most upright men, as you would count it, one of the most devout men in all of Israel in the days of Jesus, one of the most respected men, came to Jesus by night and said, "Teacher, we know that You're from God because nobody could do the things You're doing unless God was with him." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit." And it is in that same passage that it says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, there is something that you need to know that is even of more urgency than knowing that I've been sent from God. And that is that you need to be born again. And so this thing that the Bible describes as the new birth must take place Because this is how we become a believer, by being born again of the Spirit of God. In the book of 1 John, John uses the phrase born of God 8 times in 5 chapters. And if you want to really understand what John means by born of God, you have to go back to John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, 9 to 13. And so I just want to review that, folks. We don't get in. We're not God's child. We can't love God as He prescribes until we have been born again. And this is a supernatural work, and it happens by the Spirit of God. And Paul put it this way, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it is an absolute, total transformation. Who is it on TV that talks about total transformation? I don't know. I've heard that term recently. But that's what the Lord does. And it is not a dressing up and a refurbishing of the old man. It is an absolute, we are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that happens by trusting in Christ, believing who He is, and believing that God sent Him, and believing that He died on the cross for our sins. It is through believing in Him that is the only way to receive the new birth. And any who have not done it have not been born again. So it starts with the new birth. Moving on. And the parts of that, you know, they can be split up a number of ways. But we'll go through them quickly. These are at least things, not necessarily always in this order. But we accept and understand God's holiness and our sinfulness. If we never really begin to get an image of how holy God is, and we never really begin to get an image of just how sinful we are, despite our best efforts, Isaiah said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy, dirty rags. Until we understand that, we're not ready to come to Jesus. We're not ready to accept Him as Savior, because we'll think that maybe there's a chance we can make it on our own. And then that leads into the second one. We acknowledge our total helplessness. When we were without power, God sent His Son to die for us. When we were helpless, total helplessness, and that we need a Savior. Thirdly, we fully acknowledge and embrace who Jesus is and the provision of grace that He has made for us. We have to know who Jesus is, believe who Jesus is as Savior and as Lord, and then embrace the grace, His unmerited favor, shown us through Calvary. Then, D, we repent of our sins and we fully trust. That's the word there. Fully trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. Moving on. And we are then born again by God's Spirit. And that is when then it can be said of us that we are born of God. We become God's child at that time. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And he uses that phrase over and over again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now that means, when he says believe, he doesn't just mean, oh yeah, I believe he, no. Has fully trusted him, personally, individually, fully trusted him that he is the Christ, is born of God. So that's the only way to be born again, and it starts with a new birth. Okay, our love for God, number two, is a response to God's love for us. Love for God is not an original thing, not in our sinful state. Cain thought he loved God because he acknowledged God and brought him an offering. And God said, you can't come that way. You're a sinner. You have to bring a blood sacrifice. So he got all bent out of shape. And instead of coming the right way, and the Lord gave him a second chance. The Lord said, if you do the right thing, won't you be accepted too? But he didn't. Instead, he went out and killed Abel, his brother. So we, in our fallen state, we may think we love God, but we don't love God. But love for God is really a response to his love for us. When we see how much he loved us through giving his son, when we see how much he loved us by giving his son on Calvary, then when we fully understand that and embrace that, we are humbled. We are floored. We realize we don't deserve any of it. And from that point on, we just love the Lord. We just love the Lord. Hey, if somebody had given their life for you, would you love them? Well, that's what Jesus did. He gave his life for you. And so when we understand that, we love him. And at that point, serving the Lord isn't hard anymore. I've heard people say, oh, serving the Lord's so hard. It ain't really. It ain't really. Sorry for the poor English there. Not really. Because when we love him, it's a joy to serve the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I almost feel like Ted Bashford now. I feel like that's something he would say. When we really love him, it's not hard to serve him when we really, really love him. You know what our problem is? We find, oh, it's so hard to serve the Lord. Yeah, because we got a divided heart like we were talking about last week. Oh, yeah, and then it's real hard. Number three, in fact, it's a daily struggle. Okay, but this is the part we want to spend a little more time on. Our love for God. Now, I can't look inside your heart, okay? Right? Only God can do that. But there are things that do reflect. I mean, if we love him, then there are things that are going to emerge. And here, and these are discussed, for the most part, in 1 John. It's reflected. Number one, our love for God, when I say God, we're really talking about the Father here. Our love for God is reflected in our love for Jesus. Our love for God is reflected in our love for Jesus. I'm going to go over here. Bear with me a minute. See if I can find a passage. Jesus said in John 5, beginning with verse 20, the gospel, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The idea that we can love God the Father without being in love with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, is simply not true. And so our love for the Father is reflected primarily in the fact that we love his Son. Because he's his spitting image. And on top of that, he gave his life for us on the cross. So we love Jesus. And the more we love Jesus, the more we love the Father. And the two are inseparable. And John goes out of his way to make this clear in this little gospel that he writes real late, because he's trying to correct some false doctrine and some misconceptions. He says, whoever has not the Son has not the Father. We just read that this morning from 1 John. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either. And so, our love for God in general, as we would express it, is first, foremost, and primarily expressed in our love for Jesus. Do you want to get to know the Father better? Get to know Jesus better. And we love Jesus. We love Jesus. And when we honor His Son, He is honored. That's the first way we honor the Father. We honor the Father by honoring His Son, the one that He appointed, the one that He ordained. So when you have somebody out there saying, oh yeah, we believe in one God and Father and Creator and Lord of all, but we believe Jesus was just a great teacher, out the door, as it says in 2 John, because that is false teaching and that is false doctrine. The number one way we honor the Father is by honoring His Son. But you can stick any of the words in there, obviously. We're to honor the Son as we honor the Father. We're to love the Son as we love the Father. And on and on and on. That's the number one way. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and him in God. 1 John 4, 1 and 2. All right, number two. We got to move. Our love for each other, expressed in our attitudes and actions. Our love for each other. That is how our love for God is reflected. Remember the story we told about little Susie with her arm around Daddy while she's sticking her tongue out at her little brother Bobby behind the recliner. And Mama says, Susie, stop it. You can't be telling your daddy you love him while you're sticking your tongue out at your brother. And so the other thing that John does in his little book of 1 John is that he always ties the two together. So, you love God, do you? All right, let's see how much you love your brother. And the Lord puts the little, whatever, the little tape measure on there. Oh, okay, that's how much you love me. Because I died for them, just like I did you. I washed them in my blood just like I did you. I have plans and purposes for them just like I do you. They're not perfect just like you're not perfect. But do you love your brother? And he makes it very, very clear. He uses some very clear language about, and we'll get into that later, because today we're talking about our love for God, and then next time we'll probably talk about loving each other. But the two are, he does put the two together. So all he's saying is, if you really love God, then you will love your brother. And he says, if you can't love your brother who you've seen, how in the world are you going to love God that you've never actually seen in person? So in our love for each other, in our attitudes and our actions, our love for the brethren. Jesus said, in this shall all men know that you are my disciples. In what? That you have love one for another. And that's really the only command that he added before he left. And that was, love one another. So, that's his command to us. So, our love for God is reflected in our love for each other. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. So we already know that in order to be born of God, we've got to come through Jesus and trust Him as Savior and Lord. So I hear Him saying, if you've really trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord and you've really been born again, then that new person that you are in Jesus is, that's why you have God's love in your heart, because you've been born again, and that love is just going to automatically be attracted to the people of God. So, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Another way that our love for God is reflected is, letter C there, our freedom from the world and its values. And we live in a very, 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 very secular society today. And so there's an awful lot to draw us away. And I know that people in all times and places and nations have had things to draw them away. But today, it is just so intensive through the electronic media and through the web and through so many additional things that people didn't used to have. I mean, it is just nonstop, you know. But one of the ways that we know if we're really in love with the Lord is how much we are attracted to the world. Because again, if we're just fully, fully, fully in love with Him, those things of the world just somehow, they don't really attract us anymore. And they don't really have any power over us anymore. And so if we find ourselves really, really struggling with some of those areas, we just need to say, "Dear Lord, bring me into a greater love relationship with You, that I would just love You so totally and so wholly that I would no longer be attracted to the things of the world." One thing for sure, like we say, you can't sing and whistle at the same time. He says you can't fully love God and fully, you know, and then be loving the world at the same time. It's not possible. So that's one of the ways our love for the Lord is reflected. And then the big D here, obedience to Christ's commands and willing submission to the Word of God. If we're really a disciple, and if we're really born again, if we really love the Lord, we don't go around parsing the Word of God. We don't go around arguing with the Word of God. We don't go around saying, "Well, I don't think that's what it means," when that's clearly what it means. Now, obedience to the natural man is maybe the hardest thing of all. And if you've ever been a kid or have kids, you probably know what I'm talking about. Obedience. But there again, love. Because if I'm fully in love with the Lord, then obeying isn't that hard anymore. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. We have confidence before God. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And he talks about where we read this morning, and his commands aren't burdensome. We don't find them burdensome, because when we're in love that way, it's just a joy to do what we know pleases and honors the Lord. And then lastly, and this is really borders on the other, and it's just another expression of it, E, a Christ-honoring lifestyle. Today, lifestyle has become a very much used word, but it's true. The King James Version for lifestyle is conversation, and it's based on the Greek for walk. How we walk, how we live every single day. A Christ-honoring lifestyle. Does your lifestyle reflect the Lord? Does it truly honor the Lord? But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So that's how we know that that God's word is really fulfilled in us, is when we're actually obeying. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So, the Lord is calling us into a Christ-honoring lifestyle. How about our daily life? Is it really a reflection of that new creature that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your love for us because it is unlimited. And you showed us that it was unlimited when you sent your Son, the best gift that you had to give, and you delivered him up. And I read in Romans where it says that if you loved us when we were still sinners enough to deliver your Son up for us in order to rescue us from certain and permanent separation from you, then how much more now that we've been cleansed and justified, will you not give us every good thing and every blessing in and through him? So, Lord, it is such a joy to know you today. It is such a joy to serve you. And, Lord, I just pray that as believers, that our love for you will never be a forced thing, that it will never be a pretended thing, but that it will just be a real thing that flows naturally. And that as we learn more and more of who you are, what your will is, what your purpose is, what your character is, and, of course, about redemption and all that involves, that our love for you would just grow and grow, just as there are certain people that we just, the more we're around them, the more we love them. And Lord, help us to love each other with your love. And in that way, we'll be showing that we truly love you. And so, Lord, thank you today for loving us first. And thank you for loving us perfectly. Help us now to love you back in response and to love you more with each passing day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus, that's where it starts, with the new birth. Come down today. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Receive forgiveness and cleansing for your sins. Begin a new life in him. And it will well be on your way then to beginning a life of love with and for the Lord. And if you have anything else on your heart you'd like to share, feel free to do that during our closing hymn.